What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 405 on DGS. Dave will be back tomorrow. He is out working on a story. Well, he's helped telling a story. It's not, yes. He's not doing the story. Mike Bush from Channel 5 is doing the story on Dave and his involvement with Nobody Dies Alone. And we know it's such a great cause and a big passion for Dave. So it's cool that he got a chance to do that today. He'll be back tomorrow as usual. Our buddy Tom Ackerman is pulling triple duty today because he did Total Information AM. And then he and I did the Gas House Gang from noon until about 12:40. And now he's back with us here. So welcome to your triple header, Tom.
Yeah, back-to-back triple headers, because last night I did the coach's show for SLU, so that was another
triple header. Look out. You don't have a game tonight, do you?
I don't. Well, I have a game to watch, a few games to watch, actually.
Yeah. No, I meant you're not calling a game tonight.
No, not calling any games tonight. So tonight will be, after I go to my daughter's swim meet here in a little bit, I'm going to kick back and watch some college basketball and a little hockey. It's a big night.
Yeah, so we'll get to some baseball in a minute. We can talk a bit about the winter warm-up and a few other things. But let's start with the college basketball tonight. I mean, your guys are in one of the biggest games of the night. And, of course, it's Illinois, so it's of interest to everybody here in addition to all of you guys that are Hoosiers fans out there. So that's one of the big games tonight, but it's not the biggest.
No, it's not. You know, all three of my teams. So I grew up a Mizzou fan. I went to college in Indiana, and I work for St. Louis University's broadcast. So all of my teams are playing tonight. And we'll start with Indiana playing Illinois. Illinois is an angry team playing at 6 o'clock tonight at IU. And the reason is they lost on Saturday to USC at home, and Illinois is not accustomed to losing at home. It's a really good basketball team. So of all the teams playing tonight, they are the most highly ranked of the local teams. We'll get to what Mizzou has to deal with here in a second. But they're ranked 19th in the country, and they'll play at Indiana. They'll be a slight favorite, but they're missing their best player, Kasperis Yakachonis. And for Illinois fans who have been listening today and who are going to watch this thing tonight, they are hoping that Yakachonis can play. It's still uncertain whether he's actually going to be able to play. He's listed as questionable. He has a forearm injury. He is a wonderful player. I mean, he's going to be a lottery pick in the NBA, I think, this summer. And he is just loaded with talent. He's so young. He's a freshman, but he just makes the right plays. He's a 6'6 guard, and he's a big difference maker. Indiana has one of the best home court advantages in America, but they are playing awful basketball right now. They just got blown out by Iowa on the road, but they don't lose at home. So, you know, they're going to be tough to deal with, I would think. They're kind of primed for a bounce back as well based on how they played. So you're going to have two teams that'll be pretty upset about how they looked the last time out, and they'll be getting after it at 6. And then the other one, of course, is the one on KMOX, which is a huge game tonight for SLU. The best team in the Atlantic 10 is St. Louis University. They're 3-0. They're at the top of the standings, and they haven't done this very often. They're 3-0 for only the third time in the last 20 years to start the year in the league. And, you know, they look like it. I mean, they went to New York City on New Year's Eve. They blew out Fordham. They came home, played St. Joseph's, really tough team to play that early in the conference season, and they beat them. And then St. Bonaventure, who was leading the league, a really, really well-coached, solid, tough team. SLU, which has been dealing with all kinds of injuries and illnesses, starting to get healthy, they beat them. And so now they go on the road. Very tough game tonight against VCU.
Yep. And, of course, you know, we'll have that game for you 6 o'clock here on KMOX. VCU, by the way, 10.5-point favorites, just to give everybody an idea of how well they've been playing and where they are. But, you know, the Billikens are misleading a little bit this year in the record, Tom, because, as you pointed out, it's just been hard to get the team whole. It's been hard to have everybody there at once, and it feels like they're finally starting to get there, and hopefully that'll mean, you know, the wins follow that and they can contend in the A-10.
Yeah, and last year Indiana State captured America because they had this incredible offense that could involve all five players. They moved the ball extremely well. They scored at a very high rate. They defended at a very high rate. But let's make no mistake about it. They had one of the faces of college basketball on their team in Robbie Avila, and he now plays for SLU. He's one of the best players in the country, period. I mean, he is a center that plays at the top, free throw line, sometimes top of the key, and kind of runs the offense NBA style. And he throws incredible passes right on time. He hits open threes. He blocks shots. He can dribble the basketball and get to the bucket. And he just makes all the smart. It's like the game sort of slows down for him like it doesn't for other players. He sees a different game. And he's Josh Schertz's right-hand man. The coach loves Robbie Avila. He recruited him out of Illinois. He's the sixth best player in the state of Illinois coming out of high school. And he has stuck with him all the way through. And when he's healthy, everybody's better. And Josh Schertz will only play, you know, seven players probably in this game tonight, maybe an eighth player. He's going to ride his starters all the way, and he has a very high-scoring guard in Isaiah Swope. He has his former Indiana State teammate Robbie Avila, and then he has the all-time leading scorer at SLU, Gibson Jimerson, bombing threes. There's only one team in the country that has three players averaging 17.8 points per game or more. Avila averages 17.8. The only team in the country that has that trio is SLU. No, nobody has a trio like this. Swope, Jimerson, Avila. So when they're all going at the same time, they can be very, very tough to stop. And that's what you're hoping tonight if you're a SLU fan, is that you can surprise VCU with this look and beat them. They've never beaten VCU on the road. SLU's never done it. They're 0-9 at VCU.
Not an easy task, and again, 6 o'clock here on KMOX tonight. Blues are also playing tonight. If people want, you and I talked about them on the Gas House Gang a bit today. You can catch that podcast on the Odyssey app, Apple, Spotify. You can just go to Twitter and find the KMOX Sports account, or to our YouTube page, and you can watch it where we talk about that. I'm a little bit past the midway point of the show. But the short version of it is this, Tom. They got the 5-game bump when Jim Montgomery was hired. They went 4-0-1. Since then, they're 7-8-2, and the coach is already questioning the team's urgency when it comes to how they're performing.
I agree with you. You know, and I'm going to be watching these SLU and Illinois games, and then I'll switch over to the Blues. Now, Mizzou's going to play at number 5 Florida tonight.
Yeah.
That's going to be, you know, a tough game for them.
That's a
good
one, though.
But I'll keep an eye on that. It's a really good game, and I'll keep an eye on it, but 7 o'clock, I do want to see what the Blues look like. I mean, they've got to get it going here, Kevin. I mean, if they are going to be a playoff team, and it looks like they're trying to make a push to be that, they have to establish themselves and be more consistent. They have talent, but it seems like they need another piece. And I brought it up on the Gas House Gang today. That there's a player out there that everybody in this audience knows that is playing for a bad team, but he's having a really good year, and he knows everything there is to know about the Blues and how to win and how to win it all, and that's Ryan O'Reilly. I mean, Ryan O'Reilly is playing for the Predators. Nashville is out of it. They're not going to do anything. He's going to be available. If I'm the Blues, I take a good hard look at Ryan O'Reilly. I mean, the former captain has a great skill set. I mean, he has a lot of things going for him, and if I were the Blues, I would make a very, very strong push for Ryan O'Reilly to come back. I would. I would make the deal.
Yeah, it's a good idea. All right. So we talked a lot of baseball today on the Gas House Gang. For those that want to go check it out, we talked about whether or not Mason Wynn has the ability to be this team's star, their focal point. And just as a tease, we both seem to be pretty positive about that. And we also talked a bit about potential outside-the-box moves for the Cardinals here. So you can check that out on the Gas House Gang. Separately, I wanted to bring in the Cardinals for just a couple minutes with you, Tom, to talk about the winter warm-up this weekend and kind of what our expectation level is. I would guess, and this is just, you know, me kind of defining how sports fans are, or sports fandoms are, because there are different groups within each sports fandom. You've got people that are just diehard, hardcore, not going anywhere, never bailing on the team, always going to be there, always going to be happy. You've got a middle ground that treats it like it's fun. They'll jump on the bandwagon. They'll do things like winter warm-up because it kind of gets you in the mood for the season. And then you have the more hardcore people, which is the group that I belong to, and I think you're kind of in that one too, where you follow really closely and you're critical and the direction of the team sometimes makes you angry, other times makes you happy, but you really ride the roller coaster. I don't know that the current mood about the direction of the team changes too much about the group that typically goes to the winter warm-up to see their favorite players, to get autographs, to get excited about the year. It definitely impacts the group of people when it comes to butts in seats during the season, which is really the indicator that the team cares most about.
Yeah, I love this conversation. So the Cardinals are a franchise with a ton of history and a place in St. Louis that will never change. I mean, they are a part of our culture, and that's what the winter warm-up and Cardinals Caravan are. It's not just about the 2025 Cardinals. Of
right.
course, they want to sell tickets to the season. They want you to get excited. But people come to St. Louis for that, and they come out to these various cities to pay tribute to the franchise. Now, there's another level to this, and you just mentioned it. Do I want to buy tickets to go see them play the Mets in May? You know, am I going to come to St. Louis the first weekend of May and go spend my hard-earned money to go see this Cardinals, this specific Cardinals product? So those are two different things. And I think the fan base wants to understand what is going on. And I think that it is the team's job. Now, it's our job to cover the team and certainly as their broadcast partner to explain as a rights holder what they're doing because we have access to those people.
Right.
So that's what we do. We tell those stories on the air. But the team needs to be very transparent with its fan base. And I've been saying this from the very beginning. If they're going to do this reset, they have to tell their fans what is going on. They have to be... they have to embrace their fans. Their fans have spent a lot of money on them. Their fans have come out year after year after year. Their fans have done their job. You cannot criticize the Cardinals fans. I'm sorry, ever. I mean, they have done what they need to do. They have bought the merchandise. They have gone to the games. They have tried to find the games on TV. They've done it all. So they are eager to know, and they want to absorb what is going on. So as the Cardinals, as an organization, and they are doing this, they have to be able to tell them and make them part of it. Get on board with us. The Blues did a good job of this twice. They're doing it now. Get on board with us. This is our young core. Grow with them, and we will be great. But they've got to tell them that. I mean, that the era of Albert Pujols and Yadier Molina and Adam Wainwright is over. You've got to transition your fans just like you're transitioning your entire organization into the future. I strongly believe that, and I think that they can do that. Now, along the way, could the Cardinals surprise everybody and suddenly be great this year? Yeah, that could happen. I mean, the young players could all take off at the same time. Probably won't, but maybe they all do. I don't know. But the important thing is, you've got to be able to keep everybody focused and on board and understanding that if you're going to invest in us, you will get a return. Because, you know, professional sports, man, everybody wants to be part of the thing, but they're not going to be blindly loyal to everything that you do. You got to make them part of it.
Good times, buddy. Well, have fun tonight. I know you're going to be locked in on the couch with all the basketball and the Blues, so I'll probably be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So I'm sure I'll text you later on.
Yeah, buddy, it's going to be one of those great nights. I'm excited about it. It's going to be, you know, freezing outside. So let's all warm up and enjoy Billikens on the Radio and whatever else we find on TV tonight.
Good times. Have fun, bud.
See you, pal.
It's Tom Ackerman. By the way, Tom and Matt Pauly have the Gas House Gang tomorrow at noon on all the KMOX social media channels. No matter how I try. So earlier, Dave brought up the story of the college student that used ChatGPT to blow through a 330-page book so she wouldn't have to read it, and then just took the quiz based on the summary that ChatGPT gave her. And the professor was like, well, no, you fail. You can't do that. You cheated. And You know, so and her response was like, well, this is how I learn things. I need things to be the way that I need them to be, which, of course, we all should be able to tailor the entire world to our own needs, right?
Right, right.
It's funny. I just saw another tweet that's kind of like that, and it's similar in tone. It's disturbing. We talk a lot about TikTok. I see a lot of things on TikTok mm-hmm. that I bring to the show. Things that turn out like our friend's conversation. That was a legitimate psychologist who has looked at this. But you know, I didn't just take the TikTok video and say, that's the truth. I kind of like, okay, who is this person? Google. Oh, that's an author and a psychologist. Okay, cool. That makes more sense. Wrote a book about this. You can find really good things on all social media platforms, but you do have to do at least a few seconds of like, okay, is this real? Is mm-hmm. this true? And I saw this interaction tweeted by somebody that I follow, and it's I'm not going to go into all of it, but there are people arguing about the U.S. spending on the military. And one of the people in this back and forth said, hey, just shoot me a source that says that half of the U.S. GDP is spent on the military. And the person's response to that was, there are like a million TikToks on this. I'm not your preschool teacher. And it's like, okay, TikTok's not a source.
No.
And yes, there may be, but how many of those million TikToks are accurate? Now, a lot of them are. Again, I have found legitimate people on there. I have found legitimate biblical scholars. I have found legitimate economists. I have found all kinds of good things. And you do have to do a little bit of homework. But saying there's a million TikToks on this doesn't exactly prove your point.
Right. That's the same thing as saying there's like a million people who say so.
Yeah, there's a million tweets about this. Well, duh, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Is it real or not? And it's a very simple, and that's the thing that is maddening to me about that particular mentality. It doesn't take very long to look. What would it take you, 20 seconds, to go into a search bar and say, what is the percent GDP the U.S. spends on the military? I bet it wouldn't be, and you might not get the 100%. So don't look at the AI answer, by the way. Because it's probably there's a good chance that's wrong, but I can bet you'll probably find a source pretty immediately that will say, "Yep, this is it. Here's a pie chart." You might not even have to read words. You might be able to just look at a pie chart and see those things. It's really not difficult, but man, are some people lazy?
Yep.
And you know what? It's two kinds of people that are lazy. It's the youngs like that. This guy who's like, "Oh, I'm not reading anything. I'm just going to watch TikTok." And then there's the other side of it is people that just don't want to read anything because they think what they saw is from somebody they trust, so they believe it.
Mm-hmm. Confirmation bias wheels.
Look things up, fellas. It only took a couple of days, don't you?